the truth. What really happened with your host, Mike Rivero? Because World War III is a really bad idea. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
Welcome to our show today. It is Wednesday, May 31st, 2023, middle of the weekday, hump day, starting that long, slow glide down to Pow Hana Friday, and all kinds of craziness appertaining thereto. Once again, very, very busy news day. We're going to try and dig through as much as we can before it's time to open up the phone lines for your comments, questions, observations, and opinions. Mike is in our control room today, taking care of business, keeping us out of trouble. So let's get right on into it. The debate over the debt bill is continuing. Now, it did last night pass out of committee by a one-vote margin. If Massey, who had initially indicated he was opposed to it, had voted no, the bill would have died in committee, and that would be the end of it. As it is, it's heading to the House floor for a full vote sometime tonight. And we're not really sure which way it's going to go, because we've already had 40 Republicans come on out and say they absolutely are going to vote no, and we've had a lot more come on out and say they're just not decided, they're not really sure, and so this one's going to go right down to the wire here. And basically, the GOP leadership is confident, that's McCarthy, that the party will be able to supply a majority of the Republican conference's votes needed to clear the deal through the House, even though Democrats say Republicans privately have pledged to hit a higher threshold of 150 votes. But there's a lot of politicking going on, and we're going to see what's happening. And I can imagine a lot of people are calling their Congress critters, and normally, they tend not to listen to us, with the elections next year and knowing that people tend to vote with their wallets, the phone calls are not going to hurt. Let's just be about that. And apparently there is still one more procedural hurdle known as a vote on the rule, and that's going to be taken care of probably right about now here. And as I said before, 40 GOP lawmakers, including some of Speaker Kevin McCarthy's most vocal critics, have publicly said they intend to vote against the deal, and many more remain undecided. Now, Representative Matt Gaetz warned today that should a deal on the debt ceiling be reached without majority support from Republicans, it could have major repercussions for the party's leadership. And Gaetz said that such a move would not only violate a previous agreement, but could also trigger a motion to vacate the speaker's position. In other words, they would vote McCarthy out of the speakership and hold an election for a new speaker of the House. Now, in an interview with Newsmax, Gaetz elaborated on the potential implications of a bill being passed with the aid of the Democrats. If a majority of Republicans are against a piece of legislation and you use Democrats to pass it, that would definitely be a black letter violation of the deal they had with McCarthy to allow his assent to the speakership. And so a lot of people are talking about a motion to vacate. Representative Dan Bishop is the first Republican to openly call for removing McCarthy as Speaker over the debt deal. He's not the only one. He was the first, but more and more people are coming on board and saying, you know, that McCarthy has failed as an absolute disaster as Speaker of the House. He caved into Joe Biden. He proved himself to be very, very weak with Biden's negotiators. I'm sure that Biden himself really didn't have much to contribute to the debate here. Now, U.S. Senator Rand Paul has announced a conservative alternative to the Biden-McCarthy debt deal. Now, this would become significant if the Biden-McCarthy deal is voted down later tonight. And this alternative will be offered as an amendment to the so-called Fiscal Responsibility Act deal and would replace existing language with responsible reforms and necessary cuts. Now, right now, 60% of Americans say Congress should only raise the nation's debt ceiling if it cuts spending at the same time. And Rand Paul said, I would guess the Americans answering that poll meant real cuts in spending, not an annual increase of 1% above already bloated levels of, for example, COVID-19 spending, certainly the military spending, a lot of spending on really ridiculous pork barrel projects that's got to be brought under control. So, yeah, this is they're definitely still scrapping about this one here. All right, now, Ron DeSantis, of course, has announced that he is running for president. And he really didn't get much of a bump in the polls. I guess everybody who was saying, I like Ron DeSantis, sort of knew he was going to throw his hat in the ring. Trump is still ahead by 34 points. Okay. Now, I do like DeSantis, and I hope what he's doing is angling for the vice president slot. Otherwise, he could split the GOP vote enough to give Biden and then Kamala Harris control over the White House for another 4 years. And I don't think this country can survive that. Now, Gavin Newsom went on the warpath against DeSantis, trying to blame him for this Florida mass shooting. And basically, Newsom pounced, he blamed the mass shooting on a bill DeSantis signed back in April. Under the legislation, individuals will no longer need to obtain a permit to carry concealed firearms. And Newsom said, until our leaders have the courage to stop bowing down to the NRA and enact common sense gun safety, this kind of senseless violence will continue. Only one small problem. The bill that DeSantis filed, signed, doesn't go into effect until the 1st of July. So it had absolutely nothing to do with this situation down in Florida. And, the guns aren't the problem. It's the relaxed Democratic attitude toward crime that is basically telling everybody it's okay to behave this way. And social media is being flooded with all these videos of people fighting and throwing things at each other. And one of the things our civilization, if you will, has lost is its civility. You know, respect for each other, you know, restraint of behavior, mutual respect. And all of that seems to be going away in all the craziness of the time. Okay, now, former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie is also planning to enter the 2024 Republican Party primary next week during an event in New Hampshire. And apparently Mike Pence is going to declare his candidacy at an event in Iowa. Okay, now, the FBI, as you're already aware, has refused to turn over the subpoenaed Biden bribe document. This is an unclassified document. The FBI has no legal grounds to withhold it. And James Comer is saying he's going to start the process for a contempt of Congress vote against Chris Wray. And basically, Chris Wray and the FBI, or at least the higher levels of the management, are engaging in sedition. They are violating the rules by which our government is supposed to get along. The House Oversight Committee does have oversight authority over the FBI. And they have a right to exercise that. And Chris Wray does not have any legal basis for saying, no, I'm not going to give you that information. And what's really kind of counterproductive here, and I'm sure Chris Wray is already aware of this, in withholding this document, he is basically telegraphing to the world that something is being hidden. Okay? Might as well put a neon sign on his head that says, guilty, 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 guilty. Okay, now, I've never been to Washington, D.C. I'd like to go someday. I'd like to see the National Archives and the Declaration of Independence, and I'd love to visit the National Air and Space Museum. And we know a lot about the Capitol building, but something that probably most people don't know, it has its own jail facility. It's called the Brig, and apparently somebody thought there might be occasion to use it. And apparently, one lawmaker is saying he would like to throw Chris Wray into the Brig for contempt of Congress. And I think they have the legal authority. Unfortunately, Congress can't press charges. They can only refer charges. And that means the Department of Justice is going to run interference. It really is totally corrupt over there. Meanwhile, the Secret Service is refusing to hand over emails naming Biden's Delaware visitors. Now, he's spent a lot of time in Delaware. He's taken a lot of time off from the White House, had a lot of people visit, and a lot of people want to know who was down there talking to the president. The New York Post has filed its own Freedom of Information Act request, And the Secret Service told them that there were no records of Biden's Delaware visitors. Now, of course, they understand that, yes, there are emails. And the Secret Service is refusing to hand them over. And again, it telegraphs the fact that there is a cover-up. Something ugly is going on in the White House. And I'm very alarmed that so many of these institutions, whether it's the Secret Service or the FBI, are just flagrantly disregarding the rules and the letter of the law. It's our government is coming apart at the seams right now. Now, we talk a lot about George Soros and how terrible his money has been influencing the country. But the reality is George Soros himself is actually quite old. And his son, Alex Soros, is really calling the shots right now. He chairs the board of directors for the Open Society Foundations Network. And according to Fox News, he has visited the White House at least 17 times since 2021. So I guess he's carrying instructions here. Alex's most recent visits include three meetings between February 8th and 10th, records released Tuesday show. The visitor logs list John Finer, the principal deputy national security advisor, Jordan Finkelstein, special assistant to the president, and the chief of staff for senior Biden advisor Anita Dunn, and Mariana Adam, the advisor to the counselor of the president, as the individuals who greeted Alex. So that's a very high-level meeting, high-level access. Now, House Oversight Committee Chairman James Comer has made a claim that implicated former President Obama in regard to allegations involving the family of his then Vice President Joe Biden. Now, in an interview, Comer hinted that Obama was aware of the Biden family's questionable international business deals that are now the focus of a years-long federal probe. And Comer said, I believe that it's because he knew what Biden was doing in the last year of his vice presidency. He knew that Hunter Biden was no good, and he knew this was nothing but a political liability, not just for our country, not just for the Democratic Party, but for Obama's legacy. And that last one may be coming true. Comer also raised the possibility that Obama's awareness of the family's business dealings might have influenced his hesitation to fully endorse Biden's 2020 campaign. Okay, so moving along here. The Department of Justice has now filed a lawsuit against Republican West Virginia Governor Jim Justice's coal empire yesterday, accusing it of possessing millions in unpaid civil liabilities. This happened just as Governor Jim Justice readies a bid for the Senate next year. So it's another political hatchet job. All righty. Now, a federal judge has placed a gag order on all of the January 6th defendants. He doesn't want them talking to the press, doesn't want them talking to their families, doesn't want them doing video interviews. He's already increased the sentence for some of the January 6th prisoners who dared talk about things like the physical abuse they're suffering. And this is an egregious attack on free speech, okay? And it shows how scared they are that the truth might be getting on out. Now, taking their direction, their lead from Canada's Justin Trudeau, the Department of Justice now wants to seize donation funds from the January 6th defendants and the prisoners. And prosecutors are increasingly asking judges to impose fines on top of harsh prison sentences that will offset any donations. Now, many of the defendants have set up legal defense funds or other ventures in order to raise awareness on their cases. Conservatives have commonly referred to the January 6th defendants as political prisoners due to the comparatively harsh sentences issued to them when compared to the Antifa left-wing rioters from 2020. More than 2 years after the Capitol protests in 2021, U.S. prosecutors have brought charges against more than 1,000 January 6 defendants, resulting in more than 300 prison sentences extending up to 18 years. Now, a little bit of good news. According to Marjorie Taylor Greene, Kevin McCarthy is finally going to release the January 6 tapes. He's been taking a lot of heat on that on social media. He was promising they were going to be released, Marjorie Taylor Greene is saying that now that there's talk of vacating the speaker's chair, that McCarthy is being a little bit more cooperative with some of the demands there. Now, meanwhile, former J.P. Morgan Chase executive Jess Staley has thrown CEO Jamie Dimon under the bus over the bank's relationship with Jeffrey Epstein, claiming in legal documents that he and Dimon communicated about the convicted sex offender. Now, Jamie Dimon maintains there were no such conversations, while Staley claimed that he knew about Epstein's sex trafficking operation and that he, Staley, regrets his friendship with Epstein. According to the filing, Staley says that he and Dimon communicated when Epstein was arrested in 2006 and again in 2008 when Epstein pleaded guilty to soliciting and procuring a minor for prostitution and served 13 months in a work release program. A little bit of a wrist slap there. Staley also claims that Dimon communicated with him several times through 2012 about whether to maintain Epstein as a client. So, anyway. Over at Fox News, employees are now being directed to never mention Tucker Carlson's name on air. It is now verboten. Tucker Carlson is now he who may not be named as far as Fox News is concerned. Meanwhile, Tucker Carlson has another theory about why he was fired, and he basically appears to believe that the Murdoch family is planning on selling the network, which may be bad news if some liberal billionaire buys it and brings it back into line with the rest of the corporate media. Meanwhile, CNN's ratings have suffered their most embarrassing loss in recent memory as Representative Matt Gaetz of Florida was a guest host on the conservative TV network Newsmax and just blew them away in the ratings in the 10 p.m. slot this last Friday. It may feel that we're kicking a dead horse at this point with news of CNN's ratings plunging after the town hall with former President Donald Trump becoming commonplace, but it's a horse we do enjoy kicking, and it absolutely does. Now, this is interesting news. According to Gallup, Americans no longer trust the new media, and they are turning to individuals with public platforms to find out what's going on. Obviously, that means republicbroadcasting.org, whatreallyhappened.com, and so forth and so on. Last year, the highest percentage of Americans in half a century of tracking reported no confidence at all in the news media. And this aligns with growing public distrust in a wide variety of U.S. institutions. Gallup's research with Knight Foundation over the past 5 years has revealed the drivers and barriers of trusting the news and has quantified the depth of Americans' negative feelings about the news today. When the trend hits a low point, is all hope lost? So a new Gallup Knight Foundation study finds that many Americans regularly turn to individuals with public platforms for news and information that includes celebrities, journalists, academic experts, TV show hosts, online influencers, and business leaders. And basically, it's all about trust. It is all about trust. Now, I'm seeing more and more articles that are talking about the possibility of the collapse of the United States. And, of course, I've been speculating about that for quite some time, and frankly, I would prefer a collapse to a revolution or a civil war because there would be much less blood in that case. But there was an article over at the Burning Platform, and the name of the Burning Platform actually originated from a quote by David Walker. He was Comptroller General of the United States back in 2007, and basically, he warned 16 years ago that, you know, when you talk about the decline of empires, you're really deliberating about a process, not an event. The Roman Empire did not fall on a specific day due to a specific cause. It collapsed in stages over many, many years due to numerous reasons, each triggering events which compounded upon each other and ultimately led to the final collapse. And Walker said the U.S. government is on a burning platform of unsustainable policies and practices with fiscal deficits, chronic health care underfunding, immigration, and overseas military commitments threatening a crisis if action is not taken soon. So, all right, we got to take a break for commercials, and we'll be right back.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
When all this twisted steel was swept away, did these remaining holes reveal what really happened?
Okay, let's get on to election fraud here. Now, last week we had this video footage came on out. It was released by the Election Oversight Group, and it shows the Maricopa poll workers messing around with machines, I guess is a good word for it, on October 14th, 17th, and 18th, after the logic and accuracy testing reportedly completed on October 11th. And Carrie Lake is out there saying they basically took out the memory cards and swapped them with something that was reprogrammed. And they did it in order to disable some of the machines heading to GOP precincts. And at least four employees tried to feed ballots in through the tabulators. Those ballots were rejected and spit back out, in some cases, multiple times. So the machines definitely were not working properly and should not have been used in the election. Now, apparently, there's new evidence that has surfaced. The Election Oversight Group has uncovered another serious issue. The tabulators had the wrong database and machine behavioral settings loaded. And it's actually in the tabulator system log files. You know, you're trying to load the wrong version of the database. You're trying to load the wrong version of the machine behavioral settings. And so, yeah, these machines are completely untrustworthy. We need to go back to hand-counted paper ballots here. All right, let's talk about COVID. And the European Medicines Agency has finally admitted that COVID-19 vaccinations can have an adverse effect on female fertility. This comes months after it was revealed in confidential Pfizer documents that the shedding of the COVID-19 vaccine is possible by skin-to-skin contact or breathing the same air as a vaccinated person and can unfortunately lead to menstrual cycle disruption among women and miscarriages among pregnant women. And we know that stillbirths have soared ever since these vaccines were put into use. All righty. Now, we talked about this a little bit last week, but it's starting to gain some steam. Five people whose health was damaged, along with the father of a 16-year-old boy who died after suffering COVID jab-induced cardiac arrest, are suing Biden and his administration, the FDA, CDC, and the media for colluding to silence their voices in trying to warn others not to make the same mistake. And this included the social media companies. People were getting on social media and say, I had a terrible reaction to the shot. They were being censored. Their accounts were being blocked. And maybe the vaccine companies are protected by law where you can't sue them for the damage their products cause. But yeah, when you have somebody basically violating our First Amendment rights in order to push a commercial product, it's fraudulent, it's dishonest, and so they're moving ahead with this lawsuit. And Biden and other top-ranking White House officials, including the CDC and the Department of Homeland Security, are accused of violating the plaintiff's First Amendment rights in partnership with Big Tech by keeping a lid on the truth about these mRNA shots, okay? So anyway, and after all of that, you know, brouhaha over, you know, ivermectin is horse paste and hydroxychloroquine won't work and everything, there's an interesting article that came out of AFR.com saying that garlic actually kills COVID-19 and the common flu, okay? Now, scientists at the Peter Doherty Institute have been researching garlic properties over the last 18 months and have discovered a certain Australian garlic variety demonstrates antiviral properties with up to 99.9% efficacy against the viruses that cause COVID-19 and the common flu. And I'm sure Australia would be exporting that garlic right alongside that Manuka honey, which is really quite wonderful stuff here. Another article here, this is from Daily Clout, and it's asking, why are hospitals still using remdesivir? Okay, it is so dangerous, it's nicknamed Run Death Is Near, and it killed thousands of COVID patients in the hospital. They claimed that remdesivir would stop COVID. Instead, it stopped kidney function, blasted the liver and other organs. As word got around, some patients started showing up in the emergency room with signs taped to their chest saying no remdesivir and refusing to take it. Some hospitals may have administered it anyway without their knowledge. And so why is it still being used? I mean, is it just the profit motive, or, you know, is it part of a depopulation agenda? Now, speaking of the profit motive, it turns out right now in the United States of America, almost half of all Americans now have a chronic, meaning permanent, disease, which means you're always having to go to the doctor and buy more medicines or get a prescription, go to the pharmacy. You're a constant source of revenue to the pharmaceutical industry. It sounds like, you know, this is intentional to boost their profits. And again, look at what the Sackler family and Purdue did with the opiates in the name of increasing profits. Okay, we got to take another break here for commercials, and we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Mm-hmm. My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email proudsouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And welcome back to our show. We're going to talk about the international news now. There's a lot going on over there. Now, one of the big issues regarding NATO in Europe, Russia has been insisting all along that NATO did make a promise not to expand into Poland. That it would basically that the eastern edge of NATO would be Germany, and that would be it. And NATO now denies that, said, no, we never made such a promise here. But apparently a newly discovered document from March of 1991 shows that the United States, Great Britain, France, and Germany discussing the pledge made to Russia that NATO would not expand to Poland and beyond. And its publication by the German magazine Der Spiegel proves that Moscow was right and NATO is lying. Imagine my shock. So the minutes of a March 6, 1991 meeting in Bonn between political directors of the foreign ministries of these countries contain multiple references to 2+4 talks on German reunification, in which the West made it clear to the Soviet Union that NATO will not expand past the eastern borders of Germany. Okay, so they did make that promise, and then of course they proceeded to break that promise, which led up to the 2014 U.S.-backed coup in Ukraine that deposed the democratically elected Yanukovych and installed Poroshenko. All righty. The Russian military is continuing its effective massive precision strikes on the military facilities of Ukraine, and they're starting to basically total them all up. They hit the headquarters of military intelligence in Kiev, which is kind of reckless in saying we're coming to assassinate Putin. Apparently, Russia has now succeeded in destroying two Patriot missile systems, 29 Storm Shadow missiles, and a bunch of other stuff here. In response, Kiev targeted Russian civilians in Moscow. Now, the European Union has called on Russia not to escalate its conflict with Ukraine despite Tuesday's drone attack on Moscow. There was another one here. The bloc's foreign affairs spokesman, Peter Stano, claimed he did not know all the details about the incident. And the comments came after Moscow Mayor Sergei Sobyanin announced on Tuesday morning that the city had come under attack from multiple drones. The incident was confirmed by the Russian Defense Ministry, which accused Kiev of conducting a terror attack. Now, there's a very interesting article over at the Libertarian Institute, and it's asking if the United States is losing its control of Ukraine. Now, in the very early days of this conflict, Zelensky was open to negotiating a peace. A proposed peace could have ended the war before tens of thousands of Ukrainians died and Ukraine's infrastructure was devastated on terms that satisfied Kiev's goal. But the United States pressured Ukraine to go on fighting in pursuit not of Ukraine's goals, but of the much larger American ones here. Now, putting an end to Ukraine's negotiations with Russia, State Department spokesman Ned Price remarked, "This is a war that is in many ways bigger than Russia. It's bigger than Ukraine," and insisted Ukrainians will go on fighting and dying for core principles, which is one of those very vague comments. Nobody really knows what it means. What are the core principles? What are our interests in Russia? Now, so the United States was calling the shots in Ukraine, but now, with the war not going well for Ukraine and the country getting more desperate, Ukraine is forced to retreat to pursuing its own goals and ignoring what's coming out of Washington, D.C. And unfortunately, that's taking the form of escalating the war in a way that now endangers American goals, not to mention Europe, and, as you know, spiraling up to a nuclear war here. Now, speaking of a nuclear war, Victoria Nuland is out there saying that the World War III will effectively begin on July 11th, stating that the U.S. and its partners will fight as long as it takes 16 years or more. The scheduled date was chosen to coincide with the NATO summit, which is a one-day meeting in Lithuania. And another prediction is a little more recent here. Based upon information that came to me discreetly via post and mail, I've concluded that World War III can kick off in less than 2 weeks between the dates of June 12th through 24. The largest NATO air exercise, Air Defender 23, takes place in that time period, and it may cover the Ukraine counteroffensive. Okay? And so what they're basically saying is that this military drill, Air Defender 2023, may go live. The event involves air forces of 25 different nations, and that is a very serious force, and I imagine Russia is going to be watching very, very closely with their hand on that little nuclear trigger here. Speaking of nuclear, neither Russia nor Ukraine committed to respect five principles laid out by the International Atomic Energy Agency to try and safeguard Ukraine's Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant. And they were actually pretty common sense principles. No attack on or from the plant, no heavy weapons stored to be housed there. And really, it is common sense. We don't need another Chernobyl. Meanwhile, Russia has given passports to almost 1.5 million people living in the eastern part of Ukraine's Donetsk, Luhansk, Zaporizhzhia, and Kherson regions since last October. Now, these four regions, like Crimea, want to merge with the Russian republics, and of course, the rest of the world says, no, you can't do that, and Russia's doing it anyway here. So, apparently, these people are now receiving pensions and social benefits to deal with the hardship of being in a war zone. All righty. over in Serbia, there is a crisis between Kosovo and the ethnic Albanians. Apparently, over the weekend, dozens of NATO peacekeeping forces were injured trying to quell some of the violent protests. So the United States did a little muscle flexing, and two U.S. Air Force B-1B Lancer bomber aircraft did a slow flyover of Sarajevo and other cities in Bosnia and Herzegovina this last Tuesday. It had been pre-announced at the start of the week and was described as a sign of a strong partnership between the United States and the armed forces of, BIH. And they're not saying which side that's on. We really are in a world war. Everybody's fighting everybody. Over in Sudan, 32 hospitals across the capital city of Khartoum have been seized and turned into military bases by both the army and the Rapid Support Forces paramilitaries in their ongoing conflict. Three doctors have also been kidnapped in Khartoum. One has sadly been killed. And attacks on medical sites amount to potential war crimes, according to Legal Observer. The World Health Organization has called the use of hospitals as military infrastructure a flagrant violation of international humanitarian law that must stop now. All righty. Now, the U.S. is complaining again because a Chinese fighter jet carried out unnecessarily aggressive maneuvers near a U.S. Air Force plane over the South China Sea. Oh, how dare they do that? I can imagine that if China was flying surveillance planes along the coast of California or maybe in the Gulf of Mexico, that American fighters might get up there and sort of get a little aggressive with them as well. So, anyway. All righty. Taiwanese media has reported that Taiwan received delivery of Raytheon-made Stinger anti-aircraft missiles from the U.S. as part of a $500 million package of free military aid that Washington has been preparing for Taipei. I mean, over in the Congress right now, they're trying to avoid, exceeding our debt ceiling, and yet the money continues to go to all these war zones. You know, there's always money for war. May not be money for Social Security, may not be money for the veterans, may not be money for the homeless, but there's always got to be money, for the war here. So apparently the Stingers arrived last night, but the $500 million in free weapons is being pulled from U.S. military stockpiles using the presidential drawdown authority, the primary way the Biden administration has been arming Ukraine. Of course, eventually all these weapons do need to be replaced in the stockpile, and I'm sure Raytheon is already out there rubbing their hands together at the prospect of new orders here. Now, a while back, there was this deal between the United States and Great Britain and Australia regarding a nuclear submarine. And it was a Navy Virginia-class fast attack submarine. And apparently the deal is not really working all that well. And part of the problem is that Australia was expecting certain design changes to these submarines to suit Australia's needs, and the U.S. is just not doing that right now. And so Australia is having second thoughts and really doesn't think that would be much of a deterrent to China anyway. All right. Another little article. This is from the Bulletin of Atomic Scientists. And it's talking about this story about how Israel stole bomb-grade uranium from the United States. In fact, that's where they got the first fissionable material for their first-generation nuclear weapons. It was called the NUMEC Affair. And apparently, the Interagency Security Classification Appeals Panel, the nation's highest classification authority, released a number of top-level government memoranda that shed light on the NUMEC affair and the possibility that in the 1960s, Israel stole bomb-grade uranium from a U.S. nuclear fuel processing plant. Now, the evidence available for the 2010 Bulletin article persuaded us that Israel did steal uranium from the Apollo, Pennsylvania plant of the Nuclear Materials and Equipment Corporation, hence NUMEC, and they're urging the U.S. government to declassify additional documents to settle the matter. Okay, so it's really being hush-hush. After all, we don't want to make our Israeli friends look bad. Meanwhile, Israeli President Isaac Herzog has flown to Azerbaijan in the latest stage of a very public evolution of ties between the two countries. Herzog is traveling with his wife, met Azerbaijani President Ilham Aliyev in Baku at the Zagloba Presidential Palace. The visit will see a bilateral agreement signed between Israel and Azerbaijan on cooperation in healthcare, and the sides are also actively cooperating on the field of cybersecurity. Okay. Israel is planning to bring around 10,000 workers from India to fill positions in the construction and nursing industries in a sign of deepening economic and political cooperation between Tel Aviv and New Delhi. Now, Israel is going on a building spree in the occupied territories. They're, you know, revamping old settlements. They're building new settlements. And so they had to bring in all these workers. About 5,000 are due the first year. The final agreement is still being negotiated between Israel and India. Okay. let's see. Alrighty. Leaders of the Palestinian community within Israel have set up a protest tent in front of the government buildings in West Jerusalem to press authorities to address an escalating crime wave. Welcome to our world. And the protest is going to last 3 days, and it comes as scores of Palestinians in Israel have been killed in crime-related incidents this year. Now, the Palestinian community within the 1948 borders that compose the State of Israel are mainly those who were able to remain despite the ethnic cleansing by Zionist forces during the Nakba. Mohammed Barakeh, a former Knesset member and leader of the Arab Follow-Up Committee in Israel, said a series of actions are planned to pressure the government to tackle crime within Palestinian communities, which makes up more than 20% of Israel's population. Sounds like they've got their own version of defund the police over there. Meanwhile, following his re-election, Turkish President Erdogan has agreed with Egyptian President al-Sisi to upgrade diplomatic relations. They're going to reinstate their ambassadors, and so they're moving closer together. All right. Now, let's see. Everyone was worried about this North Korea satellite launch. They were going to put up what was presumed to be a military reconnaissance satellite, and they needn't have worried because this launch re-kitted itself. And the satellite launch vehicle crashed into the Yellow Sea on the Korean Peninsula's western coast. So that really did not work out all that well. All righty. This is kind of an alarming article. It's coming out of the Daily Mail. And it's talking about how millennials lack basic knowledge of the history of World War II. And apparently half of 18 to 34-year-olds didn't know that Britain fought for the Allies. And more than 1 in 10 thought the miracle of Dunkirk refers to when the Nazis surrendered. Well, you know, our schools are teaching gender theory. They're not teaching history. And they should, because a study of history is what hopefully will keep you from making the same dumb mistakes all over again. All right, let's talk about the economy. And I want to start with this article. It's titled, "The Suffering is Off the Charts." And we've seen economic activity's been dropping all over the nation. The decline appears to be accelerating. And there is a new phenomenon which is really seeing an explosion across the country. Now, it's basically called the working homeless. Now, a couple of years ago, we heard a little bit about it up in Silicon Valley, where people who had good-paying jobs at places like Google still couldn't afford the high cost of rent, and so they were literally living in their cars and going to work at Google and trying to work their way forward. Well, now it's a huge explosion in working homeless, and even though these people are currently employed, they can't afford rent, so many of them are simply buying recreational vehicles. And these RV communities are springing up from coast to coast, and they're starting to attract a lot of attention. And let's see, the owner of a party bus company, Rikers Island prison guards, a worker from Amazon are just some of the eclectic bunch who formed a community of working homeless people living out of RVs in the Astoria section of Queens, New York. These communities have formed across the U.S. from New England to California, where people are just deciding, you know, a nomadic lifestyle might work a little bit better amid a national cost of living crisis. Most of these people get up and go to work in the morning. In fact, one of the men spoken to by the Daily Mail actually works for a New York City hospital. And he said he has a job, but the rent went up simply too high and he could not afford an apartment. So he took out a loan and bought the RV. Now, call me silly, but if you work at a hospital, you should be able to afford a place to live. But this is our country now. All right, we got to take another break for commercials and we'll be right back.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with
Extendovite. Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system. And it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com. Or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off Drop-In Lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off Drop-In Lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff LLC, 417-932-6419.
We will not go down in the night without a fight. You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight.
Welcome back to our show here. We're talking about the economy, and more than 30 countries are now asking to join the BRICS coalition in order to move away from the U.S. dollar. And there's an article that came out of Russia today saying that BRICS could smash dollar dominance. And the status of the U.S. dollar as the kingpin currency could be challenged with time and under certain circumstances by the BRICS group of emerging countries. This is according to Jim O'Neill, the former chairman of Goldman Sachs Asset Management. Now, O'Neill coined the term BRIC, later expanded to include South Africa, and at the time predicted that the four emerging countries were on their way to reshaping the world economy. And it looks like it's going to happen. So the idea that the dollar would remain king forever is probably unlikely. This is not the first time people have talked about the end of the dollar. It happens pretty much every other year, if not with the same intensity. So, it could really happen in our lifetime. Meanwhile, the European Union is apparently unwilling to pursue the hawkish stance on trade with China and Russia that's being promoted by Washington, D.C. And the European Union does not intend to condemn Russia and China for economic coercion in its joint trade strategy with the U.S., Bloomberg reported on Tuesday, citing a draft document. Now, according to the outlet, the U.S. has been advocating a more confrontational stance on China, while members of the European Union have been reluctant to adopt a hawkish approach, despite embracing the concept of de-risking regarding outbound investment, which is endorsed by both Washington and Brussels. So the European Union wants to reduce its economic exposure to the Asian powerhouses by signing on to the U.S.-led policy of curbing Beijing's access to advanced technology. Now, France and Italy objected to references to China as a non-market economy during internal meetings. So, all righty, getting on back to San Francisco. Their downtown area is turning into a ghost town. The Old Navy store in downtown San Francisco is going to be closing. They're tired of dealing with the high crime. And the high crime is driving off potential customers, so they basically, they're closing their doors. And that's along with Nordstrom, Nordstrom Rack, Saks, Off Fifth, Anthropologie, Coco Republic, Whole Foods, T-Mobile, and a whole bunch of others. So that's a terrible thing to see happen to that city. Meanwhile, over in the United Kingdom, they're headed for the second summer of strikes as the seemingly intractable cost of living crisis devastates household finances. So they're entering the worst period of strikes since Thatcher, and the government is now calling for price controls. Getting into immigration, a former New York City hotel worker is basically saying illegal immigrant children are being allowed to drink and do drugs. All right, there's the music. We've got to take a break here for station identification. The phone lines are open, 512-248-8252, and we'll be right back.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To read more about this amazing breakthrough and to order your terahertz frequency wand, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.